Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Slam your body down and wind it all around, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Manchester United picked up from where they left off, and Alexander Mitrovic is on the march. It's Monday, 8th of August. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vidushan Hantaraja.
Hey, good to have you with us, everybody. What a magnificent Monday. The Premier League is back in full flow, gentlemen. Before we get to that goodness, an exciting announcement from us. As a part of all the brand new benefits we're offering up over on the Ramble Patreon for just a small payment per month, we are hosting a watch-along of Chelsea versus Liverpool on the 18th of September. So if you're a friend of the Ramble subscriber, you'll be exclusively invited to come join us in a pub in London, the capital city, no less, to enjoy the game and chat with fellow listeners too. You can come and join us by paying just $10 per month. Or if you sign up before August the 31st for an annual membership, you'll get 15% off. If you don't live in London or that's not your thing, then there's loads more things that'll be up your strata and some are available for just $5 a month. Get over to patreon.com/footballramble for more information.
Very excited. Vish, are you going to be there? Can you exclusively announce yourself like it's a big festival? Are you on the lineup for the 18th?
Yeah, you know, why wouldn't I go to the wedding of my enemies?
Despite it not being a gastropub, I assume Vish is going to come.
Yeah. You never know.
I'll bring my own pale ale.
Please do. Please do. Gentlemen, to the Premier League.
It's back, baby.
It is back. Well, I'm assuming that we're going to start with the Premier League because before we actually officially break that Premier League glass, Luke Moore, your highlight of the weekend.
My highlight of the weekend has to be related to the Manchester United game, which I know we're going to cover in more detail
we as might
we move
do.
Through the show.
We might do.
I imagine we will.
Yeah.
This is a podcast equivalent of let him know you're there.
yeah. Getting there early. First one's free. I've got no particular beef with Manchester United.
You remember the 90s and the noughties.
Yeah, but I enjoyed them in the 90s. I was a Portsmouth fan. It's the only chance you got to watch good football.
True enough.
I just love the idea that Manchester United turn out on Sunday and do what they did. Right, okay. And we all saw it and we'll get into it. There's an amazing bit of timing feature on the Guardian website that if you haven't had a chance to read the Guardian football website, perhaps before the game, if you may not have found, you're looking at the team news, you're looking at, look at the pre-match interviews, you're getting up for it,
new look
season.
Side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Couple of new signings there.
Meet
new
the,
manager.
Meet the new boss.
Yeah, exactly.
Should I go?
Yeah. J. Jamie Jackson published an article which was right there at the top of the football page for you to watch, just next to the post-match analysis, the match report on the Guardian website. Just said, Man United looking to pay £10 million for Marco Arnautovic. And you think, and then you look and you think, they've spent £1 billion over the last 10 years and we've already had to boo him off at half-time on the first day. And now this.
Yeah.
What's this? He's scored 13 goals for the 13th place Bologna last season. Well, just what we need. It's Odie Ighalo all over again.
Oh, it is.
To me has to be like, you've got, there's some element of it, even if it's subconscious. If you're leaking that story out to journalists on Sunday at Man United, you've got to be taking the piss to an extent.
I tell you what, they're basically saying, who's now come back from China? Who have had their fill of China? They'll be after Yakubu in a minute.
Now you're talking.
Yeah.
So he's 33 years old. You would have
Vish, it's Luke's highlight. You can't comment on it.
No, but I kind of
play for Shanghai for a couple of years.
He's refreshed, ready to go. He'll press from the front.
He's well-rounded.
Him and Ronaldo up front, big man and muscly man.
It's just
shit man, shitter man.
Just can imagine on that, but it's going, I'll play for him. I'll play for him,
How much are they going to pay me?
Exactly,
it's an increase.
So on Monday morning...
So he's known to be a good guy around the dressing room.
Yeah, famously. Well, on that...
A 33-year-old Bellen is the answer to their problems. That's their answer. New era.
Yeah, okay. Vish.
I'll do that. Vish, I'm 36.
Yeah. Your highlight of the weekend.
Well, I just want to like touch on Luke's thing because Monday morning, I switched on my phone. New day, new week. Thought, coming into the Ramble studio. It's a lovely day as well.
It's really nice, yeah.
Something to lift my spirit. Switched on the phone. As well as on Arsenal, Adrian Rabiot linked to.
Look, we're going to talk about Man United in a minute. You fill your boots.
It's open season. Yeah. It has been for such a long time.
But I want to hear Vish's highlight before we get stuck into them.
My highlight of quite a dire weekend. Well, I actually enjoyed myself outside of 90 minutes at 2 p.m. On Sunday. Was the Salisu own goal because?
Oh, very good.
Because it is so rare to watch a Premier League footballer right now, given. The level of expertise, the technical ability, just the general level of fitness beyond football. So rare to see a Premier League footballer now and think, I definitely could have done better than that.
If that happens in any amateur or grassroots pitch anywhere in the country, people would be like...
You cannot stress that enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something people do sometimes say for effect. In this case, it is literally true.
Yeah.
Like, he's had so much time to think about that. There's no one around him.
Yeah.
There's no one around him.
It's not even... You could put it out for a throw-in. Yeah. Or a corner.
Or
keep it in play.
Or
you've got all three options.
Or you could have not touched it. It generally would have been better if he wasn't there.
Yeah. It wouldn't have gone anywhere if he didn't touch it.
No. Exactly. It's absurd. And it was just a nice reminder that they are... they are humans and they are sometimes as stupid as we are.
Obviously, I was at the Fulham game and we'll come on to that. And there was a time when Fulham were playing so well and I looked at my phone and I saw Southampton had got a goal up and I thought, what even is going on? So I have to say...
Arsenal have won.
I absolutely needed that more than I could ever tell you.
I bet. Well, obviously my height was Mitrovic, one step forward towards the golden boot.
Two steps forward.
Well, if you like. Yes. But he's level with Haaland,
we'll see how that goes.
We'll see how long Haaland can keep up with it. right, gentlemen, let's get down to it. Manchester United 1, Brighton 2. Manchester United were booed off at half-time and full-time. Both halves.
Nice to maintain these traditions, right?
Was it a game of two halves? According to those fans, no, it was pretty much all the same. Brighton, their first ever victory at Old Trafford. Big win for those Brighton fans. Of course, Jules is our resident Brighton fan.
Got in touch, sharpish, after the game.
Let's see what Jules has been saying.
Vishy.
Why?
I can't believe you thought you'd get away with not hearing from me today. I bet you were thinking, new season for Man United, new manager, we're not going to lose to Brighton again like we did last time we played them at the Amex, losing 4-0.
Keep your headphones on.
I mean, I'm pretty impressed you turned up to Ramble today, losing on aggregate in your last two games against teams like Brighton by 6-1. Vish, you've missed me, haven't you?
There was a stage after the game where I thought, you know what I need to do? I just need to watch some TV. And I thought, you know what? She's on so many different channels now. There is a risk.
She popped up as CSI. We just watching Scott Lanning. Fuck off!
Reruns.
You're not even a superhero. Why are you in the boys?
But
I got a message from in my family WhatsApp group this morning from my brother as parents, who I haven't seen in a couple of months, trying to organise a dinner. I replied giving him my dates when I was free, and my brother replied saying, "Is Jules on the show today?"
Your brother's a Newcastle fan, right?
He is. Yeah, yeah. Okay. He's also a twat.
So you know when if Ten Hag gets a little bit upset on his first game with the fans booing at half time, not half time, at full time, do you think he really needs to understand that kind of thing is really just part of the fabric of the club, that he needs to buy into it?
Yeah,
because his traditions are important.
Well, he doesn't know the club, does he?
No, he bloody well does now. But I'll tell you something about Ten Hag. Is that Ten Hag? He had the look of a man who didn't, like someone in disguise. Like, he wasn't really in charge. His get-up was strange. I wasn't a big fan
of him. He comes across as quite passive, doesn't he?
Very passive, but if you look at him...
Apparently he's not on the training ground. Apparently he's very, very aggressive.
He looked quite bemused the whole time. Even in the sort of the pre- and post-match interviews, I thought to myself... It's Guy Goma, like out of himself, what a disguise, you know? Yeah. Because like this can't be the guy.
Well, he in his press briefings the previous week, so in the week leading up to this game with Brighton, he was pretty punchy. Bear in mind, a lot of the conversation
was around
Cristiano Ronaldo.
So who was it on Sunday? Who done a body swap with him?
It was the same bloke, wasn't it? I think it's someone who realised... I think he's only realised in the last 2 weeks with the Ronaldo stuff how much of a basket case. Not necessarily like... the club is full stop, but not necessarily... I think it's hard to see that when he's so focused on, I suppose, the squad and the tactics and kind of the coaching bubble that he has around him. And I think that was the first time where he's been taken outside of that bubble and almost held up and be like, look at this. Because evidently he's not as involved with transfers because, you know, Luke mentioned Arnautovic at the top of the show.
Yeah. He just can't be because of that.
Well, he has played for him under 20, right?
Well, exactly, yeah. But
if that was quite some time
ago. Yeah, it was like 12 years ago or something like that. But there was, if you look at it, like Arnautovic will be like the sixth stopgap striker that United have signed.
It's root and branch stuff. It really is. I mean, we were talking about this outside, and I thought Vish would push back on me a little bit on this point, and he didn't, and maybe he will now because he's a show off. But I said that to me, it's the club is now feeling like it's completely infected, like Arsenal was in those dark days, where the whole thing, it's actually just not about a figurehead. And I think what we saw were. And maybe it's easy to paint these pictures because they lost the game. And, you can lose a game. Brighton are a good team and they deserve credit and all the rest of it. But it just looked a bit rabbit in the headlights. It looked a bit like the size of the job I've got on here.
That's what I mean.
Is absolutely huge. Yeah. And if you look at the Ronaldo thing, as you've mentioned, that's not ideal. The Martial thing's not ideal, who's looked absolutely brilliant pre-season. He gets an injury late on and can't play, so he experiments a little bit with Eriksen in a false nine. Doesn't really work. They looked okay in patches, but... You could easily say the same thing about Sancho, who everyone's been raving about in pre-season. Absolutely anonymous again. Like, literally anonymous.
Yeah.
Like, he gets dragged off. I know there's a lot of subs this season, but he gets dragged off.
Rashford's critics are there again from last season.
He had such a big chance that he can't score.
Yeah. He had an awful game yesterday,
That chance, he has to score.
Yeah.
I mean, Man United's built on that kind of stuff. You have to... That kind of goal would have been such a typical Man United goal. And if that had gone in, you go, right, now they're up and running.
Yeah.
It's a lot of the same old issues. And to be honest, I didn't think they'd be sorted by this game, even though I think Ten Hag has to take some responsibility here, given that he had a full preseason. Not only that, he literally joined the club early. Mm. You know, he missed out on Ajax's tour away to, I can't remember where it was, but he had that end of season tour where he, parked that and moved over, with a view to, correcting some of the technical flaws within the side, which had been there from the start, and he's had a lot of time to work on that. And the other thing I would say about it is United have always, the most damning thing about that was United were as easy to play through as they were.
Unbelievably shit without the ball. It was incredible for opening day.
Yeah.
But I would also say that worse teams than Brighton have done that to United. And I say that because Brighton are one of the best teams at doing that. Mm-hmm. If you're slightly out of position, I think the first goal was a great example of that. Like, it actually... we can talk about Eriksen not tracking Casado or not even attempting to take him down, for instance, but they were so swift and everyone made correct decisions.
But that's what the Premier League is now, Vish.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to find really more than one or two teams who are, because they'll be overwhelmed by going to Old Trafford.
Yeah.
other than that, every single team plays in that way pretty much, and they also smell blood because they go, "This team."
But it's the influence of the likes of Klopp and Guardiola, perhaps the latter more so.
I would also say that you know, Eriksen as a false nine, it didn't work. I don't know what he was thinking.
No. He just didn't want to start Ronaldo. Let's be honest.
Probably, yeah. But
the way he's behaved.
But the one thing
he hasn't played in preseason.
He's only played one half and then he left.
Maybe that's what he was hoping to do this time.
Yeah. I told you I want to play the first half. Yeah.
But the one thing I will say is the dichotomy between United up front and Welbeck, who I think...
Oh, man.
I think that was the... Given all United's issues anyway, I don't think I've seen a performance like that from Welbeck in a long, long time.
Resign him.
Right down from... You joke.
I do.
Honestly.
More than I'm out of it.
Yeah, exactly, right, yeah. But we can start from the fact that he lasted into the 95th minute.
Yeah.
His movement was incredible. His touch was
such a shame that the header, it was a bit of a 50p header.
Yeah.
It would have been amazing.
Can I diverge a little bit and just say that he was brilliant. He was deservedly man of the match. Yeah. He ran himself into the ground. It was a Mikel Antonio-esque performance.
Absolutely.
But he's got
a better touch than Mikel.
Fine, but he's got no quality at Welbeck.
In terms of scoring goals.
He hasn't got any like proper quality, Welbeck. I've never seen someone make such a contribution and also never once looking like he's going to score.
Well, I think that's a touch, Arsh.
He's not going to score, is he?
No, I get it.
He can still be there now and not score.
I think the thing about Welbeck that kind of lends itself to that opinion is that he's not a great technical striker of the ball. When he shoots, he doesn't have that same kind of... I don't know. Let's see Haaland, for example. You know, Haaland's second goal, obviously we're going to talk about him in a bit. That's a proper striker's finish. Welbeck doesn't actually do that.
He's never had that.
16 goals for England, lads.
Yeah, very good.
And the other thing, a list of the teams I was against.
Well, I can't remember a single one of them.
No, you can. We were Sweden? There in the stadium in Sweden. In
oh,
Kiev,
in Sweden in the Euros.
A bit, and that was very much top quality.
But his performance, I think, was the standout for me. Obviously, Pascal Gross gets a couple of goals as well.
But that's a tradition, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Basically just came in and cashed his cheque and left again, yeah. But bear in mind that...
He didn't even celebrate.
Get on with the game.
Yeah.
Bear in mind that Brighton were there without Bissouma, Cucurella, and still put on that performance.
Yeah, lost, but arguably their two best players.
Yeah, I think they're brilliant. And for all United's flaws, I think Brighton leave that game thinking they definitely should have scored more because that should have been a penalty
on
Welbeck. And also, United got off very lightly because I think McTominay should have gone for that on Caicedo.
Definitely.
I think it was a disgraceful challenge.
Well, I think the commentator said it rightly that because of the way Caicedo kind of went in, it probably just about saved.
And I had one eye on the game because I was covering some cricket at the time. I watched the highlights and read through everything. And I remember, my last thought last night before I rested my head was I think United got away with that.
Yeah, it could have been worse for them, much worse. Well, it really could have.
Some might have said before the game that will Ten Hag have a very haunted look in his eye and will he snap your hand off for a 2-0 loss? But Manchester United, they did only manage to lose 2-1, so that's the main thing. Ronaldo did come on, but didn't do much. So,
did you see Pascal Gross's celebration after the first goal? You say he didn't celebrate?
Yeah,
I actually lip-read him saying, oh, pipe down, I'm looking to get a couple here.
Business as usual.
Yeah, I'm looking to get at least a couple here.
Go get the ball.
The way Brighton set up, I mean, it's so exciting for Brighton fans with the way Potter is. I mean, I don't know why I'm thinking of this, a Brighton fans going, oh, shut up. But like, do you remember when they were booed at the Amex? You know, it wasn't that long ago. I'd like to hear more from those people now.
Yeah.
Presumably they were
booing's all about, is what it's all about.
Well, it helps the team.
There was a booing. We said that
you only boo if you know the club.
Yeah, exactly. Like, is that why Cristiano Ronaldo is booing?
Yeah. Eric Ten Hag looks...
They're saying Boonaldo.
Eric Ten Hag looks like latter season stage Walter White / Heisenberg.
Oh,
but acts like first season Walter White.
Yeah.
And therein lies the problem.
He wasn't on the Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
But can I bring in a tweet from Peter Blow? Old Blowy has said, should Manchester United sack the manager when he reaches zero? He's going to be Erik Ten Hag this season.
So he's got nine defeats to go before he loses his job.
Yeah.
Pretty sounds about right to me.
You make it sound like he's like a radioactive entity, like he's got a half-life.
Yeah, if those defeats all come in August and September, I think he might well lose his job.
I mean, I think old Peter Blow there, yes, if he was to lose nine more games, yes, especially in a row, Well, he won't get to nine.
Brentford away next.
Yeah.
And it's funny, isn't it? Because and maybe Manchester United fan listening to this will be like, no, you know what you're talking about. And they'd be probably largely
correct. Good home support, though. So
yeah. But it looks to me now like every game looks tricky to them.
Oh, mate.
And that's not a habit you want to be in.
But it was always going to be like that at this stage, I think, especially with the new manager. So...
It was always going to be like that.
It wasn't always.
Hands
to
tie.
Yeah, it was.
Look, you can't. Hands are tied.
No.
It's always going to be like this. What can Jadon Sancho do?
It can't get any better. What can £1.3 billion of a transfer do?
I don't know.
Nothing.
It can't get any better than this. Yeah. Get David Moyes back. He's living his best life. In fact, no, don't, David. Not now.
Yeah.
Fitch, it's fair to say that Manchester United have long bemoaned the gaping gap between them and their local rivals, Manchester City. Has Erik Haaland widened that gap to Grand Canyon proportions now?
Yeah.
Well, we've got to see what Arnautovic is made of.
has Erling Haaland, right, has he picked up the whole continent and just dragged it to the other side of the earth and left Man United where they were? I'm going to say yes.
Honestly, it is ridiculous.
When Roy Keane was waxing lyrical about Erling Haaland, you know all I could think of? I am Reek.
Yeah.
Yeah. What have you
Game
done?
Game of Thrones, mate. It's fine. Yeah. No, you leave this one to me. Yeah. Carry on, Vic.
It's either Love Island or Game of Thrones.
Have a bit of your water.
That will be.
Before we leave from United, I mentioned it before about Rabiot getting, you know, being new to United.
You excited about, is he the man to come in?
Well, I'm going to go back to this tweet from at Darren Ravel, which was tweeted and quickly deleted after Trump's... you know, victory as US president, well, in the presidential elections.
Yeah.
And it simply says, I feel bad for our country, but this is tremendous content. And that's all I could think of from Rabiot and Arnautovic in the same dressing room.
You're saying that, but I mean, he's come from an environment at PSG where he's probably going to inject a much needed professionalism into the scene.
You'd hope so.
Yeah.
You'd hope so.
Bring your mum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Deary me. But yes, Manchester City obviously won 2-0 away to West Ham United. Haaland got both goals, predictably. I mean, it's just, he's terrifying. He's absolutely terrifying. And he's got such an aura about him that you can see the way the Man City players react to him. And the way Kevin De Bruyne, who's the main man at Manchester City, I know there's a number of great players, the way he kind of, it was almost like he doffs the cap and sort of little kind of...
They both got subbed off together, right?
I think so.
He did look quite deferential to him.
But he did. And honestly, Haaland, whoever... And there's one or two people saying, who said Haaland's not going to be, you know, make a splash in the Premier League? Who said this? People... They line up a bit like with Guardiola when you know it didn't quite work out in the first season of the way he
people want him to fail.
People want him to fail. Yeah. Haaland's not going to fail. He's going to be great. He already is. This is going to be massive. It really is.
I think there's some people who, speaking of that coverage, there's some people who said what they said after the Community Shield and wrote what they wrote. We should probably print out those columns, tear them up, set fire to them and chuck them in the bin.
But I mean, some people get stuff wrong and they can change their opinion so on, but there was one or two pieces which were a bit like, come on, just come on.
Yeah. All I can say about Haaland generally and his Premier League debut yesterday is that I have never seen a player with that kind of amount of composite skills in one player.
It's original Ronaldo stuff.
So the closest it would be I'm not saying he's as good as these players, and I'm not saying he'll go on to be as good as these players.
I think he will.
He may well, and if he stays injury free, and you know, there's a good chance he probably will. But it obviously involves a lot of mental application as well, which, you know, given that he's grown up in a completely professional football environment his whole life, you'd imagine he'd have that.
Yeah.
You're looking at Henry and you're looking at Ronaldo, the original Ronaldo, because, and even there, and I'm not saying, obviously I'm not saying he's better than the original Ronaldo, but Ronaldo's the only player I can think of with that frame and that acceleration.
Yeah.
Normally when you think of a player that quick, they're smaller.
Totally. I remember you once described Ronaldo in his pomp, Brazilian Ronaldo, when, you know, him running at you is like a herd of elephants running down on you. Like, it's terrifying. And honestly,
but he's a total iron fish in a velvet glove.
Oh, my goodness, And Haaland's the same. Like, this is different level stuff. He is one of those kind of once in a generational talents. He'll probably get the golden boot this season. Do you know what I mean? He's an enormous player in all senses of the word. People will be rightly terrified of him. You know, defences. It will be the case of how do you stop him? And you've got to cut off the supply. Well, that means you've got to do a job on De Bruyne. Honestly, it is frighteningly good. And his resting, terrifying bastard face as well. Just goes with the whole picture.
What do you make of him, Vish?
I think he's...
I rate him.
The he's all right. Yeah. Early days.
His dad's soft. I don't mean that.
His dad's quite beefy now.
Yeah, he looks huge. Yeah. Now. Yeah. I think, Harlan, have you got any of that spare?
Yeah.
And he would be the type of dad who would have to call his son by his surname.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But the whenever I've watched him, and especially so on Sunday, it looks like he's always running downhill.
Mm. Yes, that's a good way of putting it.
It's a great quality to have. And I also think West Ham have been one of the most well-structured teams over the last two seasons. Yeah. And you could see what Haaland gives to Man City in that second goal, where the space between De Bruyne breaking out just inside his own half and where the back line were was huge.
Yeah.
And Haaland still got, you know, sprung him out and a brilliant run inside, can't remember who it was, and a great finish. And it feels like he just gives them a different dimension. And bear in mind how teams approach City. He's almost created more space for them in an area where they have their best players, where, well, you know, their current best player in Kevin De Bruyne. And who knows if he's still there, but, you know, someone like Bernardo Silva as well, they're going to thrive with him.
Well, this is the thing. They haven't had a player like that for a while. Obviously, you're great.
Because that player hasn't existed, really, has it?
And the funny thing is they've not needed him to exist because they've still won the league. They've still, you know, played great stuff without having that sort of classic kind of striker figurehead. Now they have him and you think, well, how will they structure it? Blah, blah, blah. With someone like Haaland, it's a bit like Cristiano Ronaldo in his pomp. You just drop him in there because you don't have to, oh, well, will we have numbers coming back? No, he's that terrifying. He's that much of a presence. It will work. Like,
of course it will, yeah.
How many players can you think of? When you think of big signings, you know, think of like, say if Harry Kane went to Real Madrid, you'd think to yourself, that'll surely work. But there's always a case where he hasn't played in that country. He's never been there.
With
Haaland, it's like, it will work. Wherever he goes, he will be brilliant.
Yeah.
And there's very, very few players that you can put all the money in the world on that.
Yeah, well, he's got that quality where he has a gargantuan ego, but it doesn't impinge on his work rate.
No.
He's always running. He's always moving. He always wants the ball. That point where De Bruyne puts that cross to the back post in the first half, I think, and he in the second half, and he skids along the ground and, you know, Gundogan was behind him, probably has a better shot. But that was the only time I've watched the game at the London Stadium. I thought, it's a good thing those fans are far away. Because he's got so much momentum.
If they were take out the whole front row.
If they were in an Orthodox position, he would have taken out a few rows.
Yeah, just go through it. Just go through the whole stadium.
And end up in Newham. Like, where am I here?
I just felt like there's no weakness in his game.
No.
So that I've seen him play live, and there's nothing he does where you think, oh, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
You know, he affects the whole pitch all the time. Yeah. And his movement is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
And the two goals, the run he makes, I mean, if you make that run and you've got players like De Bruyne in the team.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a lovely old job.
It's unplayable, really.
Yeah, totally.
And then you look at the penalty he wins.
Yeah.
Watch that back. I'm not going to say he's got no right to get there first, but I can see what Areola thought. Maybe even subconsciously, he's quite a big guy. It'll take a while to get up to speed. He got there way ahead of him, like way ahead of him.
Indeed.
And when he gets up to full speed, he is unstoppable. His acceleration is unstoppable. He can finish, he can head it, he can hold it up. Other than the fact that Harry Kane's probably the best striker in the league at dropping deep and linking up play, and still as we sit here now, there's nothing that any top forward player does in the Premier League that he can't do.
You could say in the world, you could
and it'll maybe do it a different way. He'll maybe take on a player in a different way than say a Salah will.
Yep.
But he can still do that, and the end result will be the same. Mm. And we're only one game into the Premier League season. It's astonishing what he could go on to achieve.
Yeah, drink it in, because these kind of talents, as I say, I know we've had Ronaldo and Messi, blah 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 blah. But he is that good.
Well, until Arnautovic comes back.
Well, true enough. I mean, what a move. What a counter move that is.
Yeah.
But, your move,
City.
Or could be, because at the time of recording, the bid was rejected. We should
they
say.
They rejected it.
Why
am I complaining? I don't want him.
And of course, Haaland, you know, going on the post-match interview, couldn't give two shits.
Yeah.
Or he did in front of Jeff Shreve.
Why is Jeff Shreve still doing that? That's what I thought. I just thought, Jeff, what are you doing?
It's a good place to go to a break.
Yeah.
All right. See you in a moment, everybody.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Time to pick the head up. Why doesn't he come on over?
Ooh.
Valerie.
Oh dear.
Sorry, guys.
There we are. Alan Shearer there, who tweeted, two down, 258 to go after the Man City game, which is quite nice.
Yeah. He'll probably get them by November.
Going to look up when they play us.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, everybody, we are bringing you the very first episode of The Drop-In with Kate Mason. It's a brand new interview series where Kate meets some of the game's most fascinating characters to understand what makes them tick and understand some of the lessons they've learned from their careers at the top of the game. Tomorrow, you'll hear her interview with Wales legend Hal Robson-Kanu.
Yeah, nice.
If you want to know how to do a Cruyff turn under pressure,
yeah,
he's your man. Give it a listen. It'll be it'll be out first thing in the morning. Kate's also chatting to Liverpool assistant manager Pep Linders and Spurs legend Glenn Hoddle in the coming weeks.
Lovely stuff.
Come on.
Yeah.
So please send us your questions for the pair of them on Twitter at Football Ramble. This season's first episode of At the Match is also out on Wednesday. It's only Hibs versus the Gorgie Boys. Unfortunately,
you rushed as much enthusiasm as you could for that. What happened, you couldn't quite get it over the line.
2 points dropped. Hearts player Alex Cochran was pictured being pelted with chips when he was on the sideline. One listener was asking whether that was Andy's handiwork.
Well, Andy, I can imagine on one hand it could be, because Andy's he's a very healthy eating man.
He's not eating.
So if he was given chips, he would have thrown them away.
I see what you mean.
On the other hand, he's unlikely to be very close to chips, really. If it was a green tea bag. Hit him in the head.
Yeah,
and the headline was European football expert teabags Hearts player. I could definitely see that being the case, but other than that, I don't think so.
If you've seen Andy close to chips, let us know.
Yeah, because you'd be the first person who has.
Absolutely. Email in if you've been teabagged by Andy.
Yeah, don't say that.
Nah, you'll get the inbox.
There's only so much. so many gigs we've got. Right, everybody, back to the Premier League. Fulham 2, Liverpool 2. Come on, that's more like it, isn't it, Luke Moore?
Yeah. Who saw this coming?
I really don't know.
I predict there's going to be a very haunted look accompanied by a 1,000-yard stare on the face of one Marco Silva.
Did you mean Ten Hag?
Yeah, I just got the manager mixed up.
This
isn't going to be a thing, is it? Where you play us things that we've said in the past?
I don't
know. The whole point of doing the show is we'd leave
it
behind.
That Marco Silva, if he walked in the studio now and sat in that spare chair, and I said to him, Marco, you can shake hands on a 2-0 Liverpool defeat tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think he'd snap your hand off.
Snap your hand off.
Yeah. I mean, I felt like snapping my own hands off watching it. Because I was at the game.
I was at the game, so it wasn't ideal.
Yeah.
I remember sitting there thinking, oh, Fulham have started well. I say 5 minutes in. They won't keep this up. I see, I haven't said that to my wife. I said, she said, oh, Fulham are good, aren't they? Mm. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, it's only 15 minutes in.
Oh,
and then I was like,
it's only 65
time,
minutes in.
Yeah, half time, I was like, they've absolutely dominated. They were the better team. It's as simple as that. They were the better team. Uh-huh. I don't think, in my defence, and I'm happy to take all this on the chin.
Yeah.
You're about to hammer me, and I get that. And I've been hammered all weekend, and that's fair enough. In my defence, I don't think you could say, given the pre-season Fulham have had, that they would have put that kind of performance in.
No.
But they did, and they were brilliant.
No.
I think they'd be relegated this season. And I think 12 is rich. What's his record? 11 in the Premier League?
Not about that bit. I forgot about that bit as well. This should be Patreon content. Why should we swerve? Should we be charging people for this? Tenner a month.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Well, Andy Brassel's prediction.
We called up an ex as well. Play that one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There is.
I also think the final minute is going to be 7-0. Salah's already got 4.
Yeah. That's all the clips. So, I mean, look.
You know what? I'm gonna stick up for you here. I didn't see this coming either.
I was
definitely of a mind to think that beyond this being the start of the season maybe Liverpool would need a tune-up, Fulham are going to get battered.
Yeah, Marcus Silva, we're a few players short. He was bluffing. We were all bluffing. Fooled you all.
I think you have to take your hat off, and
you do.
I could not believe the intensity that Fulham played at and kept up pretty much all game.
I think you're absolutely right. And if you look at the midfield, you know, Paulinho looks a classy operator in there.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. And Pereira, of course, former Manchester United player, didn't really pull up too many trees there and has been.
Well, Pereira was the player, you know, and the people have talked a lot about Mitrovic, and rightly so. Pereira was the player that, and in the stadium on the day, I was most impressed with.
His work rate.
He is so competitive as well. He wants to fight for everything. He could be a huge player for them.
I think so.
And I think it's a real big gamble. I was chatting to someone at the club after the game, and I asked them if they thought this was the case, and they agreed with me that signing Pereira and planning him in that position when Tom Kearney is so popular with the fans.
Yeah.
Is a real gamble.
Yeah.
But he offered so much against Liverpool. They just couldn't deal with him. They could, in the base of midfield, which is a mad thing to say because you've got Silva in there. Thiago in there, who is incredible, but he actually looked a bit lost. Yeah. Henderson was getting bullied by Mitrovic, who wasn't just bullying Virgil van Dijk.
Yes.
They couldn't really deal with. It feels quite odd saying this about Liverpool, but they couldn't really deal with the work rate and the ingenuity and the positions that the Fulham attacking players were taking up.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, they're going to work this out in a minute and it's all going to be fine. And of course, Liverpool did have their moments and they hit the bar and all the rest of it. But you can't argue. I can't sit here and say I thought Liverpool were a better team because I thought Fulham were.
But I think, and look, players will read the things in the media and so on. I mean, obviously, some will read more than others.
Some of them will listen to podcasts as well.
Absolutely right. Yeah,
but
they will think to themselves, "Oh yeah, Fulham, they're back up again." Now, obviously, look, it's one point. We'll see how Fulham get on. But Fulham are back up. Well, apparently, there are a few players short. Oh, that, he used to play for Man United. He's been Man United reject. Blah, 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 blah. All that will go through their minds and think, "Right, come on, lads, nice and easy start. This is you know, against a newly promoted side." And I think Fulham just thought, "Right, let's let them have it." And I think what the impressive thing was Fulham's shape, the work rate, and all the rest of it, because Marco Silva, he has a style of play, and he has a plan. And in the Championship, Peter Rutzler, is it who writes for the Athletic and covers Fulham, spoke about how Fulham were the Man City of the Championship, the way the style is, because Silva's training methods, you know, similar to kind of Guardiola. And I know a number of coaches are now, but that's will be Guardiola's legacy if it's not already. And to see Fulham almost like implement quite a lot of that against Liverpool in the Premier League. It's very exciting for Fulham fans because normally, as I say, you're used to winning every week in the Championship. If you win the league, of course, by definition. And you come and you're like, all right, okay, back to the walls, lads. And that's, sometimes you're better off almost having a bit of an old school manager or something who can scrap away and see what you can do. Whereas actually, to implement that plan against a Liverpool side who are full of quality and for it to work, I mean, obviously they didn't win the game, you know, but to give them so much trouble, I thought, flipping heck, you know, we'll see how Fulham get on. It's early days.
I've never seen so many household name, top quality players look pretty much, for the most part of the game, second best in their kind of one-on-one battles, right?
Yeah.
In that game on Saturday. There was the Mitrovic header at the back post, right in front of me.
Oh, yeah.
And if you watch that, you couldn't quite see it from the TV angle, but from where I was sitting,
you could see, if you watch it back in slow-mo, you might be able to see it. Mitrovic rises behind Trent.
Yeah.
On his way through, he just stops, just growing his pocket and stealing
absolutely
his dinner money.
I did.
And heads it in off the back of that. It was.
Oh, the way Mitrovic, I mean, I just love it. He's like, what, you've England international Champions League winner? Not a problem. Who are you? Van Dijk, best defender in the league? Yeah, not a problem.
He was as close to unplayable as I've seen him play.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen Fulham quite a lot and I've watched them down at Craven Cottage quite a lot. I don't know if I've seen Mitrovic play better than that, taking into account the opposition.
But I think people have not watched Mitrovic. They've heard about the goals in the Championship and they've dismissed it. 43 goals in the Championship. You can't really dismiss that. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
It gets to a point, doesn't it?
Exactly.
There's a threshold where you're like, okay, he's doing something different.
Exactly. But also, it's not just that. The international goals as well. And actually, if you look at the size, they've not all come against, you know, Luxembourg and San Marino. but he scores goals. He is a frothing at the mouth, hungry goal scorer, and he wants to gobble it all up, and you have to give, you know, he has scored double figures in the Premier League before. It was a few years ago now. The other season, Scott Parker didn't really play him, you know, but in the Championship he's been so consistent, like easily the standout striker in that league, easily. And as I say, on the international stage he's done it. Just to see him in the Premier League, of course he can do it in the Premier League. Yeah, okay, it might not be for a top 10 club, I appreciate that, but there, you know, he will score goals. And my prediction actually was he would score 12 plus. And he said he will score 12 at most.
12 dead, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's the midfield that Liverpool played in the Champions League final.
Well, exactly, yeah. But if you look at that midfield...
And they weren't in it.
But what's lovely to have Harrison Reed in there. Not even the Europa League final. Yeah. They've all gone. They've all changed, you know. But do you know what I thought was naughty of Klopp? Saying there was a dry pitch.
Yeah, but he always pipes
up
excuses.
Yeah, I know.
You forget about it because they lose so little.
But do you know what was really naughty? Bringing on Elliot and Carvalho.
Yeah,
there's no need for that.
Yeah.
Especially with Carvalho. It's like, oh, I see. Is it that low? Are you going to go?
We've got your kids.
yeah.
That's literally what he's doing. It's like, oh, that's naughty. Very naughty, Jürgen.
He did say in his post-match interview that Liverpool didn't deserve anything really from that game. But they're lucky to get away with the point.
Well, how can they deserve anything on such a dry pitch?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're going to spin it for Liverpool, you'd say they didn't lose the game. They came out of it, they showed a lot of fight.
Well, what about Nunes? Is he going to try that flick every time the ball's crossed to him?
It's beauty, that was right in front of me as well.
Because he did that earlier, and I think, was it the keeper saved it or it got blocked? And then he scored. And I was like, I can get behind this guy. Yeah. I know he's had his critics, but if he's going to have a go at that, that's his move.
I was confused as to why he didn't start ahead of Firmino, because Firmino didn't do anything.
Mm. I think Firmino, obviously, he's been quality for Liverpool throughout his time.
Yeah, but he's coming.
But I think we can agree that, you know, in terms of starting every week and so on. I think Nunes, though, maybe because of his critics, I don't know, perhaps Klopp's kind of...
He's got all the tools, though, Nunes. He's big and strong, he's quick, he's intense with his
similar
running.
Similar profile to Haaland in terms of, like, stature and...
Mm. He ain't as good as Haaland.
Size.
He ain't as good as Haaland.
No, but in terms of his build, bear in mind that there seemed like a dearth of big strikers who could run and bully defenders. Now we've got two in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I enjoyed it as much as I could given the circumstances. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, DJ. Well, Liverpool got the full force, didn't they?
They did. Exactly.
Yeah.
By the way, I've got a couple of, they were putting out little banners saying we're back on each seat.
I've got
a couple for you. Yeah, I'll bring them in. Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Stick them up in
your room. Were they crocheted?
No, they had crochets in them. but a little mention for former Fulham manager, Scotty Parker. Bournemouth got off to a flyer.
No one expected that, did they?
Beating Aston Villa 2-0.
Bournemouth at the bottom of our predictions table.
Yeah.
Weren't they? So we'll see.
Very good start for
them. Very un-Bournemouth Premier League performance, I thought.
Mm.
I thought they were very efficient and none of the frills that we kind of associate with the Eddie Howe Bournemouth.
Sure,
they're actually quite engaging back and forth. This felt like they're going to guts out a few games this season, aren't they?
Well, yeah. That would be...
A few wins, rather. Yeah.
Parker, yeah. Parker, has he earned his stripes? You know, those little stripes on his suit.
Where are you going with that?
Awful.
Yeah. No, Fisher's got opinion.
I mean the jacket's awful.
Oh, yeah. I thought you meant your point was awful.
No.
I just feel like if you have to explain it, I mean, what's the point?
Well, I think people know, don't they? Will Kiefer Moore get more headed goals than Mitrovic this season?
No.
Okay.
No.
That was a nice header there. That's what we want from Kiefer.
Yeah, but come on.
How many goals is Kiefer Moore going to score?
Well, he's already
got the same physical profile as Erling Haaland.
No, he doesn't. Erling Haaland picks his teeth with Kiefer Moore.
I don't know. Well, Moore's only one behind him in the scoring.
Oh, that's Patreon content.
Gentlemen, let's move on to Southampton losing 4-1 away to Tottenham Hotspur. A bit more like it, Luke Moore.
This is like a conversation of calamine lotion. Rub that all over me, baby.
is what we like.
Oh, dear. Your man Ward-Prowse obviously opened the scoring, but yeah. Spurs...
Did that with all of Pompey.
Indeed. But yeah, Spurs...
His family weren't watching.
No, they're at fucking Portsmouth nil Lincoln nil, probably. Yeah. The Danny Cowley derby. Is it possible to be less interested in that? Because I'm a Portsmouth
and he's,
fan.
That's and him saying that.
Yeah, I know.
But Kulusevski, though, Vish, obviously talked to him about him there. He's still only 22. That type of performance he put in suggests that, I mean, if he carries on like that, he'll be one of the players of the season.
Well, I mean, that wasn't his best performance for Spurs, the best performance this year. I would say that he was one of the best signings for the second half of the season. Right. Obviously, the Man City game I'm thinking of is where he, you know, Spurs saw very little of the ball, yet he contributed to, you know, the couple of their goals and was also just like so back and forth as well. I thought when he started at Spurs at the start of the year that he was a bit more of a running man. And I think as, you know, as last season came to its end, you saw that there was so much quality there to work with. And Bentancur as well had a real quiet, a quality quiet game.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's like,
quietly,
you know,
excellent.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. And I feel like he's been having quite a few of those. I'd say he's probably more underrated than Kulusevski.
Mm. But he plays in the type of position where you can much more likely be underrated.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. They're really interesting, aren't they? Because you look at the signings they've made, and it feels like they were previous Spurs splurges have been either with a focus on young talent or established talent. Mm. And this feels like a bit of a mix, doesn't it? Because you've got Jed Spence at one end of the spectrum, and then you've got Perisic. Mm. And
it's a Conte effect, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's really interesting to see how they pan out.
I felt, Vish, like, I think we said this at the time, and I think a lot of people felt that it's a coming together. They're either going to get it Conte's way or they're going to get it Levy's way. And it's come to the point now where Levy's realised that actually the end of the road is in sight.
Yeah.
I keep seeing off these managers by not giving them what they need. So Conte's won out, clearly.
Them getting Conte in, I know it's a while ago now, but it was so crucial.
But I do think, and I know people don't necessarily take anything I say about Southampton seriously, and that's fair enough. But you are playing at home against a team who a lot of people think will really struggle this year. And they didn't look great bar the kind of the first goal. So look, I'm not going to say let's see what they do against a good team, Spurs, but we have got to bear a bit of that in mind because there's going to be far, far bigger challenges to come than they had on the weekend.
Yeah. And do you think this would be quite depressing for Arsenal fans? Well, not depressing, that's the wrong word, but Arsenal have made some good signings. They're looking, you know, they've made a good start.
We stuck the boot into them on Friday.
Well, Andy did stick.
That's more Andy, that one, but he's not even turned up to defend himself.
Yeah.
Oh, I've moved up to North. I can't come in. Pathetic.
Well, I think that, it was a great win for Arsenal, of course. But the way Spurs have, you know, their signings and the way they start the season, third or fourth spot.
Well, go on, Vish.
You're saying they'll be a bit pissed off about that. I don't think so at all. I think it feels like we're on the cusp of probably the highest quality North London derby era.
Okay.
Certainly in the Premier League, of course.
Okay.
Because I think they're driving each other now.
Right.
I think, bear in mind, Spurs got the Champions League spot last season was basically focusing on Arsenal all the way through, going right up to that second North London derby game. Maybe the photographer wasn't there to give a speech and and beating them.
Yeah.
And I feel like Arsenal's summer has been basically off the back of that.
He's doing all of them now. He's doing all of it.
Yeah,
Arteta's devolved.
Give me the wide lens.
I'll take a good photo. That's easy.
I've got a phone and everything.
Everyone's got an iPhone. I'm already regretting putting Chelsea in my top four ahead of Arsenal because I think what Arsenal are doing is a lot more coherent than what Chelsea's doing.
Mm.
I'm not just basing it on the opening results because obviously that would be too reactive. But
they went easy on Frank.
Well, I also think Chelsea are a little bit incoherent with their transfer policy, with what they're doing. I fear for them in a way. And I think it's easy to miss out on top four with that kind of stuff going on because the standard is so high. Arsenal, for all their faults, the thing about Arsenal is if they come fifth or sixth this season and they see it as a failure, they'll be failing on their own terms.
Yep.
It'll be a coherent plan. They'll go after it and they'll either drop short or they won't. But everyone will know what they're trying to do.
Yep.
And I don't think you necessarily say that about Chelsea.
Well, you think Newcastle are going to be up there, don't you?
Yeah. I think Newcastle have got a really solid base and they look pretty good against Nottingham Forest. And I'm quite positive about Forest this season as well. So it goes to show you.
Vish, your brother's a Newcastle fan, isn't
he? He is, yes.
Must be delighted with that. And what a banger from one of the Premier League's most handsome men, Fabian Scher.
Yeah. I was going to... So my brother does this thing where he sends me voice notes every time Manchester United concede.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
it's a great commitment.
It's lovely that.
Yeah. And I've forwarded a few of them in the group. Maybe we can get them on your fucking little soundboard in the future.
Perhaps when he started doing that, he didn't realise what the future would hold. Is that
yeah, he's committed to the bit now. Yeah,
I'm going to be shit for this long.
Yeah. he simply sent me a message at 1 a.m. on Saturday. Right. So it was Sunday morning. Still pissed. Simply saying, "War Eddie's mags, mate."
Yeah.
I forwarded it immediately to Pete, who was also out on the piss.
Possibly with him.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
What about that Nottingham Forest corner routine?
What's that about?
The thing that annoys me about that is that you spend a lot of time bigging up Steve Cooper, talking about how great a coach he is, interesting he is, and that's how he just chooses to represent himself.
I did think, as exciting as it was, if you're pulling the cord on a stunt like that in the first game of the season...
Yeah, it's worrying.
Yeah, come on.
Lovely. I mean, it's good. Do you know what? What sort of excitement there was among those Newcastle fans ahead of kickoff as well. You know, because Eddie Howe signed a new long-term contract on Friday afternoon just after Pete predicted his resignation.
That was astonishing. Pete said that he thought, on the show, Pete said, Eddie's done a lot of research into the Saudi Arabian thing and therefore I assume he's going to resign. When I left the studio, I went and did some things. When I eventually got around to looking at Instagram, the first thing I saw was Eddie Howe new contract.
Eddie couldn't sign it quick enough.
No, he couldn't believe his luck.
He did a Franz Beckenbauer-esque research into it.
Pulled a pen out of his sock.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I haven't seen anything wrong.
Pascal Chimbonda.
Damn right. Yeah. Damn right. I tell you what, though, you boys, we've talked about Fulham and Arsenal. He did have a bit of a shocker on the preview show, of course.
Yeah.
But you did talk about Fabian Scher, who Andy said probably wouldn't start, but then, you know.
I said to him that he would start. I've been a big fan of Fabian Scher for a long time.
Well, you remember that goal he scored against whoever it was when he recreated it against Forest.
Yeah, exactly the same goal. Yeah.
But that's how you got to stop him. Just don't let him shoot from there.
That's the only goal he can score.
From just there.
Yeah. Got a bloke standing there a whole game. He's offside. I don't care.
Yeah, if Cher's not even started anymore.
You know, like when people try and like save parking spots with their recycling bin.
Yeah, put a cone there. Yeah.
Oh, dearie me. Gentlemen, just quickly, Leeds United got their season off to a good start, beating Wolves 2-1 at home. I was surprised. I think Leeds might struggle this season. We shall see. Obviously, they've lost... key players, but
they've got some sound replacements in there, though.
Yeah, I think I didn't really give that enough credit.
Yeah,
to be honest.
And also Bamford back. That was a good reminder that you're going to get more than what you got from him last season.
Totally. Yeah. I did quite enjoy Jesse Marsh clashing with Bruno Lage, obviously Wolves manager at full time, whilst I Predict a Riot was being played in the stadium.
What did he say? He said. So Bruno Lage said that Jesse Marsh said some things that you cannot say.
Yeah.
Did he call it soccer?
There are some things you cannot say. And if that guy says the S word once more, I'll have him.
Jesse Marsh said it's normal. I respect Bruno a lot. He does a great job with his team and there's no problem.
Well, he would say that.
I wondered to myself.
Jesse Marsh comes across a very nice man, very good sort of PR. He'd be a good politician.
And I think that Marsh has got a lot to work with there because Large has got quite a big chin.
Oh, I
reckon he could pop him. Have a pop. And
still maintain his distance.
Speaking of that, at Fulham, I actually brushed past Alan Pardew.
Did you?
Yeah.
All right.
Did you think about hitting him in the chin?
Moving from one room to another, I saw Pardew coming out.
Did you get a little whiff of the cologne?
He actually smelled quite nice.
I bet he did. Yeah.
And he did.
Which links has he gone for these days?
Yeah, I think it's voodoo. He was definitely voodoo or possibly Java.
I didn't know he was an Atlantis man.
No, I'm not sure. Yeah.
Oh, okay, carry on.
He actually gets a more European fragrance these days.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Axe. Yes. He's taking it continental. Yeah. But anyway, this is all I've got to report. He didn't overtly let me out into the room before he left. He just walked straight past.
Yeah.
And then he was off. I think he heard that I was turning up, so he just went.
Yeah, yeah, we've
bit of a shame, but there we go.
There we are.
So he would have probably stuck the bonce on Bruno Lage, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. All right, gentlemen. I'd like to finish with this from Dave Burgess, and loads of other listeners got in touch on Twitter to inform us about some, quite frankly, iconic refereeing in League One during Accrington Stanley's 1-0 win over Shrewsbury.
I saw
Town.
This is absolutely brilliant.
It is. Tom Flanagan was sent off in the 57th minute when he received two yellow cards in a matter of seconds, and he wasn't left in any doubt as to why. The referee could clearly be seen saying, that's one yellow for the push, second for dissent, and that's a red. See you later. It's lovely stuff.
Off your pop.
But if you look at him, he actually says, one yellow for the push, second yellow for dissent. And then he says, and that one's a red.
Yeah.
See you later. I like to think, because you can't actually hear it, he went, and that one's a red.
Yeah.
See you later. And you could see why players don't overtly seem to consistently respect referees.
No, but I don't mind that, because the referee, no doubt, as all referees would have done, yes, some of them are prats, but he would have taken a lot of flack and a lot of stick from the players throughout the game. And I just think when he's got a moment, he kind of goes, no, you are going to get sent off for that descent, and I'm going to really enjoy this. This is my moment to answer back.
But I just kind of think if you are in, I don't know, if you're kind of some kind of like, you're calling up some kind of government department, right?
Okay.
And you're making the complaint, or you need some help with something. Mm. I just think they should be so straight and so professional about it.
Yeah, but they are human beings, Luke Moore, as they tell us.
Yeah.
You know?
I just think that maybe this referee's a bit too much of a human being. Maybe you should be less of one and be a little bit more robotic.
Oh, don't start with a robot.
I think referees like have a bit of the George Costanza complex from Steinfeld, where they think of a comeback on their drive home. They're
definitely.
Like, fuck, I should have said that.
I told you a story with my friend told me about Mike Riley when he was refereeing, where apparently he was getting pissed off with the player the whole time, and this player was basically cruising for a red card.
And also, they referee these players all the time.
They know him, I guess that, yeah. So anyway, so Mike Riley is going to send this guy off, right? And he goes right over to the other side of the pitch from the tunnel and says, and you can see the guy, my friend said, you can see Mike Riley going, come here, come here, come here, come here. It makes him walk all the way over the other side of the touchline, goes, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, red. And makes the guy walk all the way back over the other side again. And then he was in charge of referees for quite a long time. So that's the example that's being set there.
I can't blame referees that much, because again, all the crap they take.
Yeah.
So sometimes they answer back.
Yeah.
And okay. I'm here for it.
See you later.
Yeah.
Do you remember Mike Dean said chillax? That was good as well.
That was very good. Off Your Pop is his best one.
Yeah, Off Your Pop.
Showfootballramble.com or tweet us at Football Ramble if you've seen any of that kind of nonsense. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network. We'll be back tomorrow with the first episode of The Drop-In with Kate Mason.
See you later.
Thank you, Luke Ball.
See you later.
Thank you for Tushin.
Off I Pop.
Thank you, everybody. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster, Annette Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.